Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. It's Memorial Day or Memorial Weekend. That'd be right?
Yes. No, Labor Day.
Labor Day. Well, I'm going to preach my message anyway. I thought it was Memorial Day. Well, enjoy Memorial Day. It's Labor Day. Tomorrow's Labor Day. Not Memorial. Well, it's my Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is May. Memorial May.
Thank you, Becky. I will remember that the next time I make that mistake. I don't think God made a mistake. I want to talk about give me some dirt. That's the title of the message. Give me some dirt. Give me some dirt. That's the title of the message. 2 Kings chapter 5. Everybody knows the story of Naaman, the captain. Let's take a look at this story, and it'll lead us right into give me some dirt. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus, and the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. You know, when he sent that kind of money, in order with the idea that his man Naaman could be healed, that's a lot of pressure. I may know you can't buy a miracle. But verse 6, "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had heard the letter, that he rent his clothes. Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send me un..." You know, the world never does understand how miracles work. The world represents how this thing works. And may we make sure that we keep it right. The world always misrepresents the church. They often interview some guy that's used of the Lord. "So you say you can heal." He never said he could heal. Most true prophets will tell you, "I never said I could heal. That's you saying that I can heal." But that's what the world does. And here's the world, how they see the things of God. Verse 7, "It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel." You're just looking for a fight. Verse 8, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." I'm sure that Elisha, in walking with God, when Jesus said, "I only say that which I see my Father do, and I only speak that which I hear my Father," I'm sure that Elisha, operating under the gifts of the Spirit, has heard from God that he could say such a thing. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. It has been preached many a time. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He wanted a little TV action going on. He wanted to hype it up. And verse 12, Arnon, Abana, and Pharphar, and the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel, that I may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. World's always getting mad at us because it's not going the way they think it should. Verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So Naaman, something he's not accustomed to doing, he's going to humble himself. And he then went he down, verse 14, and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And there's, now is my text. We're going to look at, where, give me some dirt. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Here I want to give some money to the man of God. And Elisha, he didn't want him to get the wrong idea that you pay for these things. And he turned it down. Verse 16, but he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. But Naaman, he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now, I think his motive was probably right. He's thankful. I mean, after all, he had leprosy. Isn't it interesting that one might think if you didn't live back then and you were watching the life of Naaman, you'd think, boy, this guy, he's got it all together. I mean, the Bible said he's an honorable man. He's a great man. And boy, there goes a great leader, a general for our country. After all, it said the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. I wonder if Naaman, when he won that battle, if he really knew it was the Lord that gave him the deliverance. God knew, but I don't know if Naaman knew. It doesn't say. But you'd think, man, here is a guy that's got it all together. He's got fame, he's got honor, he's a great man, and he's a soldier, and he's a warrior, and he's a mighty man of valor. But then it says, but he was a leper. Just one thing can sure make the story totally different. And there's people you look at, you may think, boy, they got it all together. They got this. And what you don't know is often that one thing that can so make all those other things not really that important and that enjoyable. But such is often the case in lives of people. I said, I wonder if Naaman, when he did get that victory, it said the Lord gave him the deliverance. But you see, in the country that he lived, he wasn't serving our God. He had other gods, and we'll see that. So it's doubtful whether he knew it was the Lord that gave him the deliverance. And isn't that true that God can be good to people that don't even know him? And God can give victory to people that don't even know him? And God is good to all, but he didn't know it. And yet one day, he's got this leprosy. And I did a study on once years ago on leprosy. It's such a terrible disease. I don't know if this is true about the whole disease, but my understanding is that leprosy, what happens is your nerves no longer work to where they feel pain. And so often a leper will not feel pain. He can go up, and if he's turning a key, and he may not know he's turning it too hard because he doesn't feel the pain. And because of that, he can cut himself and doesn't feel the pain. And because of that, he can reach and touch a hot stove and not know it's a hot stove and burn himself. And so one of the biggest things about leprosy is your pain receptacles don't work. So damage is done. And there isn't that built-in thing that says, ow. And therefore, when your body is against things that are hurting it, you don't know it. And such as leprosy, to where that begins to happen, and you can have a sore and you don't feel the sore. And that's why they begin to lose certain things, they get burnt, and some of it will begin to eat away the skin, but somehow this leprosy, he was able to cover it. But it says, in spite of all those things, he was a leper. And one day, word comes into Israel, and word comes to him and to the king of his land that there is a prophet, that there's miracles taking place. They didn't understand it, but they are of the opinion that there's a man in that other country that people are getting healed and great things are done. And so the king hears up and sends a letter. Should have sent it to Elisha, but he sent it to the king. And the king of Israel reads it and says, man, he's put a lot of money in this, and he's expecting me to. I can't heal anybody. And Elisha probably would have said the same thing. Nobody can heal anybody. It's always the Lord. But God uses people. But somehow I can see the king's wife down there at the beauty salon, and she's working, and she hears of the this other lady says, well, you know, my servant girl said that she heard that there's this man of God that could be used to bring healing. And one thing led to another, and it eventually got back to, we don't even know who that servant girl's name is. Doesn't even record it. And yet one of the greatest miracles happened from a servant girl. We don't even know the name of the lad that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We don't even know the names of the people that let down the ropes, let Paul over. And, you know, there's a lot of unnamed people that God sees that God is using. But here the word comes to Elisha. And he says, you know, bring them here. And the story begins to unfold, and Naaman shows up at his door. He's so used to the grandiose and all these things, and when he's told what he's to do, it doesn't appeal to his pride. It doesn't appeal to that part of him. And finally somebody talks to him and says, listen, if he'd asked you to do something real great, you'd have done it, but just because he's not asking you to do something great, you know, you'll find the greatest miracles in humble settings. You'll find the greatest miracles where there's not a lot of hoop and holler, but there's God working. And so he decides to obey the man of God. He goes to the River Jordan, which has been preaching. You know the story. He wanted a real nice, popular, real crystal clear type water, but he goes to the muddy little river. He dips 7 times and he comes up. Mercy. Have you ever seen a baby skin? A baby's is I'm going to get in trouble, but as ugly as they are when they're born, they smell beautiful. Now, I know your baby and my baby was beautiful, but I've seen come out just, you know, like this. But if you smell them, oh, they smell beautiful. And here, I remember my little sister was born. I used to just want to hold her just so I could smell her, except sometimes I didn't want to smell her, but that's another story. But the smell of that newborn baby skin. And here comes Elisha up out of the water, and it says he's just like a baby skin. And he wants to reward the man of God. You know why I believe he wanted to reward the man of God? He wanted to make connection to the man of God because down the road he may need another miracle. Down the road he may find himself. How many know that you just don't go through life having one need? You can have one need and then God does it, but then down the road you find yourself in need again. And perhaps he wanted to come into good graces with the prophet and wanted to reward him and keep in good terms. But nope, we can be friends, but I'm not going to be bought. I almost said like a politician running, but I won't say. But if I was to say there's a politician saying, I don't want your money because then you'll think I owe you. But Elisha doesn't want to be owed and owned. And so he says no. And then he says this, all right, if you're not going to let me give you some money, then I want you to give me, let's read on, verse 16. But he said, as the Lord liveth, behold, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? I want you to load them up with dirt. Anybody ever hear this preached? You mean I'm the first one to hear, let you hear about, give me some dirt? Raise your hand if you've heard it before. I mean, if I can get you involved. Raise your hand if you haven't heard it before. Raise your hand that I'm not going to raise my hand over nothing. So here is him. He says, I want 2 mules, and I want you to load them up with some dirt. What in the world would he possibly want with some dirt? This gets good, folks. He says, load them up with dirt, burden of the earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods. You see, I realize now that the gods we have in our country, they're not good. They don't work. Obviously, he had tried them. But he says, I want you to give me 2 mules, and I want you to load them up with some dirt. I believe he wanted some dirt maybe near the land where he had come up out of the water. Maybe some of that mud. Really doesn't matter. But he wanted some dirt that he could put on the mules, and he wanted to take it back to Israel. And it says that I want to make an altar. I don't want to make an altar for the gods of my country that don't work, but I want to take that dirt. Two things he either did with it. Either he spread it out and he would step on it when he needed another miracle, or he would take that dirt and make an altar. But either way, he wanted the dirt in order to be able to use it to make contact with the God of Israel again. Now, how many know why he wanted some dirt? And this is a beautiful message and a story that teaches us that Naaman is realizing that, yes, I got healed of leprosy, but I want some of that dirt. I want to take it back to my home because I know that one day I may need another miracle. And I simply am going to take that dirt and I'm going to hold on to it, stand on it, rub in it, fall in it. I really don't know. But he wanted it to be able to use it, as they say, a point of contact. And I will say down the road, I'm reading between it, but it doesn't take a lot of brains to see it, Lord, do it again. Do it again and give me a miracle again. It's a very simple message today. And here's what I want you to do, that I believe the Lord is speaking to us from His Word and also by the Holy Spirit. If you're in need of a miracle today, I want you to remember a miracle that He's done for you in the past. And while you're listening, I want you to think of a miracle that you know that God did in the past for you. I want you to lay that miracle out. And I want you to stand in it and say, God, do it again. Do it again. That's the message. And how often did the New Testament church have faith for God to do it again by simply recalling something that He had just done, and they would simply say, God, do it again. When Jesus prayed one time, and he said, "Father, glorify thy name, glorify thyself." And it said there was a voice from heaven that said in John 12, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. I'm going to do it again." And however God had chosen to glorify his name before, or many times and many illustrations how God glorified his name, whether he glorified his name in the fiery furnace, whether he glorified his name in the lion's den, whether he glorified his name like on the Mount of Transfiguration, whether he glorified his name over and over by the water that came out of the rock, by the pillar of cloud by day or pillar of fire by night, or whether the manna, or whether over and over, miracle after miracle, God had glorified his name. And Jesus says, "Glorify thy name." And the Father said, "I have, and I'll do it again." And here is the prophet who had been used by God and says, "I'll not take money." But Naaman, the wise man, said, "Then give me some dirt. Load up a couple of mules and let me take it back home." I don't know how many times I've had God give me a miracle, and then I find myself needing a miracle again. And how often, to help my faith, I'll remember a miracle that he did. My wife and I were just discussing the other day of three or four times when we came to a place in our life where we needed God to help and to open a door. And he did. And he'll do it again. I remember how one time as a brand new convert, one of the first miracles I ever became exposed to is I had worked at this swimming pool, and I was had access to it. And after church, I would take four or five of the young men that were going to go into the ministry. And I remember we'd go swimming at the pool, and it was an office. I had to open up the door. Then there was an office, and inside the office was a metal cabinet. And then out of this office was a door that led to the pool. I remember so well, I've relived this thing 1,000 times. I wear contacts, so I had to take them out or I'd lose them in the water. I came inside, I went inside the office, opened up the metal cabinet, reached in and grabbed a little paper box that I had used in the past, and then I took my contacts out, put them in that box, put the top on, put them back into the metal cabinet, went outside the office, went into the pool, and had fun. Came back, opened up the office, opened up the metal cabinet, opened the box, and I only have one contact. And I can't find it. And I said to the fellows, I said, "Help me find this contact." And we looked and looked from 15, I don't remember how long it was, but it was long enough. Wasn't long enough for me, but it was long enough for them. After about however length of time, they said, "We can't find it, let's go." They're out in the car in the parking lot. I'm ready to turn the lights off, and there is a counter where people would check in. And I'm thinking, where did that contact go? And I remember I, in frustration, put my hand down, and so help me, I'm telling the truth, my finger popped out. And I looked at the end of my finger, and there is the contact sitting on the counter. And I looked, and I thought, there's my contact. How did it get there? Now, if you're like me, a skeptic on a lot of things, I thought, no, that can't be. I've relived it. How did that contact get there? I don't know, but it was there. And I put it in. I've often thought of that many, many a time. I've relived it thinking, well, you know, somehow it stuck to you. No. Somehow you thought you put it in the box. No, I know I put it in the box. I don't know. All I know is it was gone. We looked for it 15 minutes. Everybody's looking in frustration. My finger pops out. I look at the end of my finger, and there sitting on the counter is my contact. I hollered and jumped around, and because I'd been praying, "Oh God, help me find my contact." I tell them, they weren't as excited about it as I was, but then again, it wasn't their contact. It was probably a few years later. I'm with my daughter. She's 1 year old. We're pioneering a church in Yreka, Northern California. I'm in the backyard. And I'm talking sweet, talking to my little girl, Kelly. You're the prettiest little thing in the world. You know that? And looking at me. And I decide to come into the house. As I'm walking across the yard, she reaches up and hits my, you've heard this before, but I just want to illustrate. She hits my eye and the contact comes off and it lands in the grass. And I realize I better stop because I've got to find that contact. You don't want to get too far from where it is. You know it came out. So I stood still and I hollered to my wife. She's in the house. Honey, come out. Come out. Wherever you are. No. And so she came out and she came across. I said, be careful as you walk. And I handed her Kelly and she went and put Kelly within the house and shut the sliding door. And Kelly's watching and my wife is there and we're looking for the contact. How many remember the story? We're looking and looking and looking. It's like a needle in a haystack. We can't find it. Ah, but I remember I brought me some dirt. And I said to myself, I remember when God did a miracle and helped me find it before, and yet we can't find it. We're looking and looking in an area about a yard and a half square. It's impossible to find a contact when the grass is that deep, or, you know, an inch and a half. And finally, my wife says, honey, I give up. And I said, I know, but I see a little bug. And I'm going to ask God to lead that bug to my contact. She looked at me like I often get these looks quite often. You're crazy. I had nothing better to do, but I watched that little bug work his way here, where there, and then he finally went down into a little hole. I pulled it back, and there's my contact. I would like to say that the bug was sitting on the contact going, hey, but he wasn't. But there was my contact. I remembered the miracle. And I said, God, do it again. And faith is what is necessary to touch God. And so why does he want the dirt? The dirt will help me in the future as I hold on that altar to remember how God healed me. And I believe he can do it again. I could go on. I'm writing a book my kids have asked me to write on the unusual miracles that I've had, and I'm up to 89. 89 unusual words of knowledge, always different. I remember coming in, laying here right on this spot when we had different carpet in those days, calling on God when God impressed upon me the scripture, Jeremiah 33, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. As after I first came, I remember, I've told you, I'm at the barber shop. And there, I was getting my hair cut. And I saw on the window, the mirror, that scripture that I just saw earlier that morning. And I thought, yes, the Lord who quickened me that verse when I was reading in my devotions. Oh, I believe he'll do it. It was not too long after that. I'm in my truck, and I remember asking God to, oh God, I just need you to, how many just ever said, oh God, just show up, I just want you to show up, I love your word, I love the Holy Spirit, and I'm sitting in my little 1987 Toyota pickup right outside that bush, when I'm sitting there ready to start, when out of that bush, a dove came out, flew up over the truck, and he's flying looking at me. And I thought, I can't believe this. Maybe 2 seconds. And then that dove flew over to the top of the roof. And then we had Leroy. It was almost like a sign. I'm saying, God, do it again. Do it again. And so I closed. Debbie, would you come? I want you, by faith, if you're here and you need a miracle, by faith, I want you to stand, and I want you, by faith, to go back to the time when God did something for you that you know He did, you have no doubt, and you stand in that spot, and then you call on God to do it again and bring another miracle. He will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll give you a miracle. And faith is what moves God. How do I get faith? Just look what He did. And let faith rise up in your heart. God, do it again. Do it again. How many know He's again God? He's a God that does it again. Would you stand with me? If you want to just by faith step out and say, God, I need a miracle. I want you to come and stand in a spot, and then I want you to recall what God has done and just simply pour your heart out to God and say, God, I'm holding on to the altar of this dirt of the memory that You did. And Lord, I thank You what You did, but God, do it again. Do it again. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Father, here we are in Your presence, believing You, Lord, for Your goodness and for Your faith. I pray, Lord, You take the name of Jesus and let healing come, Almighty God. Father, we thank You. You've done it again and again. And we simply say, Lord, do it again. You healed me here. You did this for me. You provided for me here. You saved me. You filled me. You healed me. You answered this prayer. You answered that prayer. God, I rejoice in Your goodness. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And he that cometh unto God must first believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, of them that know how to get the dirt and to make an altar and call upon the Lord thy God. Call upon Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. For the Lord loves to glorify Himself in the midst of His people, and it gives Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Lord, hear their prayers. You're the one that heals. Lord, if I've said anything that, Lord, has been displeasing to You and has brought attention in the wrong way, oh God, I ask You to forgive me. For, oh God, I pray that You see our hearts, and that, Lord, You hear the heart of each one here. And Lord, as they desire for You to be glorified, give them a miracle. Give them a miracle in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed, be delivered, be set free. By faith receive. Oh God, we receive it in Jesus' name. We believe, Lord, that You will work this together for Your good and Your glory. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, do it again, oh God. I believe, Lord, that You will, oh God, show Yourself faithful, and You will bring up out of the ashes, up out of this dirt of memory, oh God. You're going to bring a miracle. And we're going to down the road say, look what the Lord hath done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. And He saved me. And it was just in time. Look what the Lord has done. Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a God of miracles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Let me speak and let me tell you that your God created
Yes, Lord.
The earth. Your God raised the dead. Your God healed all kinds of sickness. Your God put fire on a wet sacrifice. Your God can do all things.
Glory to God.
Was your God limited to touching you
God.
One time and then
oh,
not again?
Oh, mighty God.
I speak to you today.
Yes,
and
Lord.
I
yes,
will
Lord.
Do
He's heard your prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Another place or another country.
Hallelujah.
You.